for your glory and for the building up of your people, your flock. Thank you, Lord, for these precious verses, for these letters, for what you gave the Apostle Paul that is living and active today for us and for every Christian. Blessed be your name, O Lord. We're looking to you, trusting you. Guide us now. Amen. Throughout history, we see people of various cultures, I'm talking about through the centuries, who hold to a belief that man's life is bound up in some external place or object. Superstitions, if you will. That men hold to these thoughts that their life or the essence of their life is out there. That's the phrase you'll even hear. You'll see this if you study different cultures. Even in America, the infatuation with superheroes touches on this topic. That somehow the superhero or various ones have their life bound up or stored up in some mystical place. And people go to the theaters and people buy the comic books and people get mesmerized by that thought. That somehow life, somehow eternality, somehow existence is out there. But it's not new in the American comic books. It's been going on since the history of the world. And they all have this fancy idea, one way or another, that their life is tucked away or hidden away somewhere where no harm can befall the person. Y'all follow me? That's what they hope in. They have these man-created ideas. Well, let me say, I'm not trying to take us down a strange path. I just want you to realize that men have grappled with these things for centuries. But the Apostle Paul is not grappling. He's not creating fanciful language. He's not just trying to be artistic. The Apostle Paul is not about a bizarre, mystical idea. Quite the contrary. Paul is stating an absolute truth for every Christian in every age, world without end. And that is that their life is safely hidden away with the Lord Jesus Christ. Their life, who they are, yes, hidden with Christ. So anybody that's been exposed to strange cultures and strange thoughts and strange books, come in and listen today to the truth of the Christian being hidden with Christ. That is our theme today. That's the theme of the Apostle Paul in these first few verses, from being heavenly minded to being reminded that our citizenship or our place is with Him. We're hidden with Christ. We'll see this by God's grace hopefully today more in verses 3 and 4. And Paul is going to address this in our present status, the here and now. And he's also going to address it in our future transformation. We're hidden with Christ right now. But there's a greater reality yet to come. So stay with me today as we briefly look at verses 3 and 4. Hidden with Christ. Let's go back and read verse 3 again. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We'll stop right there. Hidden with Christ. Secure with Him. What kind of thoughts come to your mind when you think of hidden with Christ? It's quite a statement, isn't it? And yet, on the surface we go, what is Paul getting at? He's talked about that, you know, Christ is in the heavens. He's with the Father. He's there. That our thoughts, our reality is with Him. But now he uses this phrase, you are hidden, you're dead, and you're hidden with Christ. Now we've talked about this truth, or you are dead. I'm not going to try to cover that ground again today because we've looked at it, particularly at the end of chapter 2, when we looked at verse 20, when we looked at this aspect of that you are dead to the bondage of sin and condemnation. It's not your taskmaster. It does not rule you. The Christian has been delivered. Do they sin still? Yes. But by the grace of God, they've been justified. They've been brought into a new kingdom. So therefore, they are dead with Christ. He died. He took sin. He conquered. As Brother Brian just said, He triumphed. And therefore, He has accomplished for us what we couldn't. He delivered us. So we're dead. We've died to that. We've died with Christ Jesus, and now we're alive in Him. So Paul is essentially making that preparatory statement. You are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hidden away. If you had to get to the essence of it, let me try to say it. Sam Storms put it wonderfully. But you had to get to the essence of it in this statement that your life is hidden with Him. There's a reality is your life is not yours. It's deposited somewhere else. Of course, it's Christ in us. It's His life in us. But our life is hidden or secure and invested with Him. It's not ours. Now, I hope that doesn't scare anybody, but it's not yours. It's not mine. You're not your own, right? You were bought with a price. So in the global sense and in the macro sense of God's redeeming love, when somebody comes into Jesus Christ, their life is not theirs anymore. It's in Him. It's in Christ Jesus, and He's in you. So you have life. And we'll touch on that. But it's hidden. It's with Him. It's deposited with Him in spiritual reality. You're still here. You're still walking and talking and living and working and laboring and, yes, even eventually dying in your physical man. But your life is secure in Christ Jesus, this thing of being hidden. But the obvious question that came to my mind in the weeks building up to this text, and perhaps you're thinking when we read it, is what is Paul getting at? What does it really mean to be hidden with Christ in God? Good question. Let's try to take glimpses at this if we can today. And I want us to consider it first in verse 3, and then we'll go into verse 4. But I want us to consider it in three great truths. This thing of being hidden with Christ. And let me start at the beginning by saying the word hidden. We have hidden or hid throughout the Bible in different phrases, right? But this Greek word here that Paul is using is unique in that he's saying it's hidden or it's concealed away, like a treasure. I'm going to start with the word so we maybe get some of the thrust. We are hidden. We're secured away. Anybody have a lockbox or a safe? Anybody have somewhere you tuck things away, coins, heirlooms, jewelry, that it's hidden away? You don't reveal that to everybody necessarily, do you? But it's secure. It's put away. You've tried to make sure it's taken care of. So think of the beauty of this word. Hidden, meaning concealed away like a treasure. So that's the word that Paul's using here. But I want us to think about the truth of this in three great ways. To be hidden with Jesus Christ, the Christian has security. Stay with that one. The Christian has absolute, total, undeniable security. Who they are in Him is absolutely certain once for all. There is no such thing as him losing salvation when the grace of God has taken one from death to life. They've been justified. They've been brought into the kingdom. They are a Christian once for all. They're secure. So to be hidden with Jesus Christ, a Christian has absolute security. I didn't say that they're smug about living in the world, careless. Hardly. The rest of this letter that Paul's writing is grounded in exhortations to how you live out that reality. But the truth of that you being in Christ, that you're secure, is undeniable from the New Testament. You are like a locked treasure. You are like a safety deposit box that could never be taken away, opened, or stolen by anybody because you're hidden with Christ. You are so secure in your union with the Lord Jesus Christ that it's unbreakable. It is a union. It is the greatest relational union in all of humanity, in all the cosmos. This thing of us in Christ Jesus, we've been brought into something. It's totally secure. It's permanent. Probably you're thinking, okay, all right, I'm beginning to see that. It's an unbreakable union. But the Lord Jesus said this, right? This thing of His union, and I give unto them eternal life. It's out of the Gospel of John. And I give unto them eternal life. I give them life. Listen to what He says. And they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Nobody takes Christians away. Nobody robs Christians. Yeah, you can be cheated. You can be hurt. You can be deceived. You can be sifted. You can be drawn away. Warnings all throughout the Bible. But in the redemptive plan of God, to be hidden with Christ, Jesus means there's security. He has you. He owns you. I told the story years ago about a surveyor that I used that phrase one time in some working in a setting where I used the phrase, he owns us, he purchased us, and he struggled with the phrase. He left, and years later, I think he went to Tennessee. He called me one day out of the blue, and he said, Philip, I just want you to know, I now understand better what you mean, that he owns us. He's purchased a people to himself. Nobody's going to pluck them out of his hand. When they're brought into Christ Jesus, they're brought in once for all. Who's going to take the great King of Kings? As Brian said, who's going to take his men, his women, his people out of his hand? None. They're secure to be hidden with Jesus Christ. Saints, you are secure in him. He is with you. Christ has your life. I said at the macro level, it's not yours anymore. It's his. As that man years ago said in the Denton church to another man that he had gone through high school with, my old man, the guy you're looking for, he's dead. You're looking at a new man now. You're looking at a man that's in Christ Jesus, and so there is an absolute security in him. This is not me exaggerating the reality of New Testament teaching. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said none would pluck them out. We are his. We're hidden. We're tucked away. We're secure in him. What do you think about that when you contemplate your own life? Some weeks, some days in our struggles, unbelief, and the battle against sin, you don't feel secure, do you? You feel like somebody's messing with the lockbox and somebody's trying to take you. It's real. The battle, the warfare. David would write psalms to this effect, right? He was struggling and he would ask God, he would beseech the one true God, hide me under the pavilion or under the covering of your wings. Same pictures. Draw me into your strong tower. Bring me into your place of security. Hide me under the wings of your safety. That's language of Old Testament that becomes real in New Testament. The sheep of Christ come to him. They're brought to him and they're his forevermore. They're hidden with Christ in God. It is a secure transaction to be brought into Jesus Christ. Sometimes we don't feel secure about our things, do we? When I was 16 years old, about a mile from here, I went to open my first checking account. I felt really excited about that. I can picture the checks I ordered. They were those custom checks. Now, my first booklets of checkbooks 40 years ago. And so when I went down there and I put my $312, whatever it was, I mean, it was, Jason, it was a lot of money, $300 probably. For a 16-year-old it was, and I opened my first account, I deposited, I put something into the credit union. And you may remember this through the years of banking, for those who actually walk in and don't just do everything online. It did work for a long time. I just want everybody to know. Still does work. You can go to the bank if you want to. But I deposited, but they had that sticker, that permanent marker about your deposits, your funds, up to $100,000 are secure. The first time that ever registered with me was when I saw it at the credit union, that statement, and I thought, my $312 are secure. And I left feeling very confident. Whatever that meant, I didn't know what that meant legally. Okay, it's secure up to $100,000. You remember that? For years, that $100,000. Wow. I didn't have anything that close to that. And yet, I knew for some reason that what had been put in the bank had been put there with trust in them, that it was secure. Even the federal government would step in. You see, beloved, we're talking about the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, taking our lives, bringing us into himself, and we are hidden away with him. It's hidden. It's not fully revealed yet. The world looks at you and go, what are you living for? What are you talking about? What are you longing for? Read the life of the martyrs. Why did they die with such peace and security? Because they knew who had their life. They didn't hold it as dear to themselves. They offered it up. Their lives were a living sacrament or sacrifice unto Him because it wasn't theirs anymore. It was hidden away. For you are dead. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. You talk about secure. Forget the banking institutions. We're talking about these souls of men, yours and mine and my life. I know where it's going. I know where it is right now. And yet He's with us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. It was prayed, said earlier. He's with us. But the fullness of it, beloved, has not been realized yet. It's tucked away. Nobody's going to get it. Nobody's going to take it. No wonder Paul said this to the Romans. The very passage that was read just a while ago by Brian. Let me read it again. Listen to it again. Security. Your life is hidden with Christ. You have security. For I am persuaded that neither death, life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height, depth, or any other creature. That's 10 things the Apostle Paul named. None of those things shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. None of it. Anything you have today that's coming against you, you feel overwhelmed by, none of it can separate you from Jesus Christ. You have to remember that. You have to preach that to yourself. You have to walk in the reality of that because that's the truth of the gospel. You're not orphans. You're sons of the King. We ought to live in that security, in that known reality. Not in arrogance, but in peace and in comfort and in joy, whether in sickness or in health, whether in little or in much. Whatever comes, that you're living unto Him because there's security. Nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. What truth for us, for you, for me, for anybody who's never heard the gospel to finally come to the One who gives life and has you forever. One of the things the children have to learn as they grow up is that mom and dad are passing away. One of the things you have to teach your children as parents is, I'm not the one who redeems you. I'm not your security in the ultimate sense. Yes, as a father and a mother, you have such an impactful relationship to your children. You should, by the grace of God. But all the while, you're pointing them to Him. They need their life hidden with Christ in God. They're going to have to let you go. You are not their Redeemer. You are not, in the truest sense, their anchor. They're not the ones who keep you through all these things. Principalities. And other battles that come in this life. So to be hidden is to be secure. Your life is hidden with Christ and God. It's absolutely secure. It's with Him. He has it. Nobody's going to pluck you out of His hand. Nobody. What a truth for the Christian. Second, for if you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ and God, it means that to be with Him, to be hidden with Him, the Christian has vitality. They have life. They have vigor. I wondered what word would be best. But do you read the stories of the saints of old? Do you read the hymns they write? Do they look like they lack vigor and life and health? Hardly. You talk about living. The Christian has the life of God in their soul. That's who they are. They've been made alive. They have vigor. They have reality. They have nourishment. They don't just have security where you walk away and you say, you know, I know Christ has me. It's secure. The deal, He has redeemed me once for all, and I'm secure with Him. So I guess I'm going to live out my days. No. If you're hidden with Christ and God, the reality is you have vigor. You have life. He's in you. He's in us. This is awesome, the reality of it. Vitality and life. I meet men all the time, my age, 10 years younger, 20 years younger. They don't have any vigor. They don't have any purpose for living. Pardon me. They're struggling. They're dead. Because ultimately they're dead in trespasses and sins. How do men like Jeffrey Thomas, which blessed us so immensely, we went, Lee and Mac and Jeff and I went to Banner Truth Conference. How do men like that, well into his 70s, his physical man is failing, how does he have such vigor in life? Because he's in Christ. And Christ is in him. Christ is a giver. He's a builder. He is a distributor of strength and mercy and joy and thanksgiving and living and laboring. Sometimes when I read the young biographies, or meaning about younger men, it stirs me. Sometimes I want to be 25 again. Because you just think, man, those guys had such life in them for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's vigor. Where does it come from? It's Christ. It's Him. You're connected to Him. The vitality that you have comes from Him. Yes, beloved, the Christian has a living, growing connection, an organic, true connection in the spiritual realities to the Lord Jesus Christ. Living and growing. It's not stagnant. It's not dead. You see this language throughout the Bible. We probably could have a delightful time, couldn't we? If I said, Jake, shut this off. We're going to talk about it. What is this living, growing connection that you see in the Bible? Somebody over there, raise their hand. Somebody over here. But it's real, beloved. Christ is not just a dead ritual. We don't show up and go to His temple or His building or His cathedral every now and then. Christ is a living, ruling, active Savior. And He's in us. And He's given life. And He's dispensing it. In fact, He's so much saying to us all the time, you want more of Me? Come. I'll give more of My Spirit, more of My reality. Old men shouldn't grow old in spiritual realities. They may grow in their physical frame, but their spiritual man should be alive like Moses and Joseph and those men and the Apostle Paul, because they have a vital, real, growing connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're hidden in Him, you have the ultimate life source coming to you. Who needs comic books? I can't help but chuckle at the next advertisement I see. The funny thing is, it's men who purchase that stuff. Young ones, I mean, those are just ideas, right? Greek mythology taught in this school district a long time ago. I came across that stuff and I went, what? Oh, these ideas of Zeus and all the other weirdos that they came up with. And I'm thinking, even as an eighth grader thinking, what? Who would put their hope in this kind of stuff? Well, in one sense, men are just refabricating those kinds of stories. And the gospel comes in and not only just disperses all of them, it crushes all of them. The gospel of Jesus Christ. He's the one who gives life. We don't need some superhero power. Man of Steel or Man in the Black Outfit. We don't need one of those. Because we have Christ. It is a profound reality of the day we're in. There are young men and older men grappling or hanging on to these pictures and these metaphors. And the gospel ought to be set before them as the reality. A living, triumphant Savior who gives life. The language of the Bible speaks to this. When the Lord Jesus said, I am the vine and ye are the branches, He wasn't just speaking in some weird poetic language. He was saying, I have life. I am the life source. You are the branches. You got everything from Me. All of your life comes from Me. You're hidden in Me. You're secure in Me, yes, but you have life. It's an exchange constantly. Life. Beautiful. Glorious. You're not connected to the vine. You're not alive. Consider, beloved, the picture of this living vitality, as I'm calling it, from the great tree, or from a great tree, like in Psalm 1. What is the godly man, the godly woman, pictured like? Right? In God's Word, in the truths of God, in the gospel of God, does he meditate day and night? And what does it say, brother? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You see the language there? If the Christian is in Christ, they have a vitality, they have a living strength, they have nourishment flowing all the time. Sometimes we move past these pictures, and they're preaching to us, they're teaching us things. The great tree. Anybody have a great tree in their yard or next door or down the street or in a field? They go by a great tree. I've thought about this. Our pear tree. You want to come out this afternoon and drive up there and see them? Grab a couple. If you know how to prepare them, you don't just grab a pear and just let it sit there. There's a certain. But those pear trees are full of fruit, aren't they, Jess? Normally they just start. Whoom. Why do I say that? They've gone through in 8 months' time almost 100 degrees of change. Wow. And they're still thriving. Trees. Think about this. Winds and storms come with tremendous force. And they're still standing. I've got trees that are in our back area, along our property, along that creek, that I just knew were goners, didn't we? You're thinking, they're goners. 50, 60 mile an hour winds. Been out there for 17 years. There's trees that, humanly speaking, there's no way they could survive. For those that are ahead of me, I'm preaching to you. You are like a tree. The Lord Jesus said a good tree bears good fruit. The pictures of organic living things are speaking to us of our life being hidden with Christ in God. We have vitality. We have life. Trees withstand that. And yes, the rigors of winter and summer come, and we think there's no way they can survive this. And they come back. Why? How? Children, how do they do that? How does a tree come back after all that onslaught of weather and wind and storms? How? Where is it getting its strength? In its roots. What it's living in. What it's grounded in. Where's the nourishment come from? The nourishment does not go through the bark into the sap, into the leaf or the fruit. It comes from what it's grounded in, what it's planted in, what it's, for today's picture, what it's hidden in. That's where it gets its life. It gets its vigor. It's deep roots. So therefore, whatever comes and it's dealing with and it's being affected, impacted by, yet the reality of its living strength is in the ground. It's veiled. You can't see it. It's hidden. If you want to use that again, that phrase. It's tucked away. Man, sometimes when they have to move big trees to get all that root mass out, you're just in awe of that tree. God is speaking through that. Its nourishment and your nourishment have to get it from something greater than you, right? It has to get it from the soil, from what God is giving it. When I was in graduate school, we took some classes in advanced plant materials. Don't worry about the detail. Stay with me, high level. We're talking about learning plant palettes of trees and shrubs and, you know, perennials and all of that stuff. Latin names, always in Latin. That's what plant materials are listed by. And we had to learn these things. And so we started studying all the plant palettes across the state of Texas. And we took a field trip, like 7 of us in graduate school. And we went to Central Texas. We went down to Austin. And we kept going to these places, and we had our professor with us. He was really a master in his own right of the field that I was studying. And we started studying the trees, and some of the trees that would do better there because the cold zones were not as bad as here. But anyway, we went to Bastrop State Park. Anybody been to Bastrop State Park? Well, if you ever get to go, remember the Word of God. You might remember Philip, but that's okay. Don't worry about me. Remember the Word of God, because that's what I thought about when I got there. Bastrop State Park has these magnificent trees and different ecozones within the park. But there's a section that goes down to the river. And the river, as you can imagine, because of the way they are in Texas, they have low flow and then have flood events. And man, they get up and they get violent. And they rip through there and they wash the soils and all. But you know what was along the river in majestic splendor? Bald cypress trees. Bigger, probably Jesse and I, I'm not sure, could reach around the size of the trees. And I'm standing there, and I'm in my mid-20s, standing there with the other students, and I'm standing, I bet my jaw was hanging open. And I was thinking of Psalm 1. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Right? Which bringeth forth his fruit in his season, right? It brings forth fruit. And there were those trees preaching to me, a young man, about those that are in God, those that are in Christ Jesus, have life, and it's measurable, and they're growing, and they're going on. They're not just secure as though the deal was closed, we'll get back to it. They have security today and tomorrow, but they have His life flowing in them. What a truth to get hold of. Oh, beloved, now that's just the picture of a great tree. How much more for you? God's saying bigger things to us than about the trees when He says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." He's talking about His people. Lay hold of these things. How can you go into the rest of Colossians and get hold of what He's exhorting us to live in and be without understanding what Paul's saying here? We must see this. What a glorious, wonderful, God-given text, passage to push the Colossians on in the ways of God, in the ways of Christ. Vigor. You remember what Paul told the Galatian Christians? "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." Right? "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." The first truth, just that I'm sharing on with being hidden in Christ, is you're secure. The Christian is secure. He has you. Your life is His. Second, you have vitality. You have growth. You have grace. Grace for today. Grace for tomorrow. You can look to Him. He will build you, nourish you, refine you, cut off of you. And you will grow in Him. So to be hidden is to have vitality. Third, to be hidden with Christ, the Christian awaits a future glory. Woo! Man, read verse 4 again. The Christian anticipates a future glory. They're awaiting expectantly what's to come. Listen to what Paul says. You're hidden with Christ in God in verse 3. When Christ, who is our life, when He shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Amen. Beloved, when the Lord Jesus Christ appears a second time, He's coming in all of His full glory. Incomprehensible for us on this side. But it says that He's coming in all of His glory. We see that in the New Testament. We see it even in the language here. There's a glory, a full glory, that's coming that will be put on display, will be made public. And Paul says, you also will appear with Him in glory. This truth right here ought to just blow you away. You ought to let this sink in today, tomorrow, sometime in the next month if you're struggling. Let the realities of this, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again and He appears, you're going to appear with Him in that glory. Says, in glory. The fullness, whatever that, how do I define it? We're going to experientially, in reality, whether we're here still alive and He comes, or we come out of the grave, we're going to have the full reality of the glory that awaits us. So this hidden security that we have, and this life that we have in Jesus Christ, is going to go to the next level. It's going to be fully realized. It is going to be put on display. Do you just think about that? Future glory put on display? When I was at my mom's funeral, at her graveside, 2 weeks ago, when Chris and I left Arkansas after our anniversary trip, we went to Jonesboro. Some of you heard me say that. And that's where my mom is buried, and my granddad, my first hero in the faith. And we went to the graveside, and I'm there with Kristen. It's emotional. And yet I'm thinking, the glory that awaits us. My granddad, Brother Ray, Van Val, who only a few of you know, who came to this church for such a short window of time, and in God's providence, he was the key to even finding this place to use. All of those and thousands and millions of others are going to be in the full glory that awaits them. We shall appear with Him in glory. Oh, beloved. Think of it. The light, the perfections, the wonders of our great Savior, all of those things, and we're going to partake in it. Wow. the realities of what awaits us. To be hidden with Jesus Christ and to be admonished to be heavenly minded. Our affections, our thoughts, our minds on Him. The reality of living in Him right here and now. And yet there's more to come. The day that Brother Ray passed from this life to the next in May, it's indescribable what he went into. And it's indescribable what awaits for us in the ultimate gathering up of Christ's bride. But it's full of glory. It's full of reality. Think of it even further. If Paul is saying here, then shall you appear with him in glory. The immortality of our bodies. The immortality of our resurrected bodies. Wow. Incredible. This is all about being in Christ, hidden with Him in God. We have something yet to come in the body that we will be in. The beauty, the brightness, the strength. Phenomenal. The truths, the realities for what awaits you, what awaits me. Saints, do you ponder this? Do you give thought to this? We must let the glories of this, the truths of this, dwell in us richly. We want to be overwhelmed by them, overwhelmed by these things. We're going to come into how we walk, what we put off, what we put on, how we relate to each other, how we a wife to her husband, a husband to his wife, workers to their supervisors, all of these things, children to parents. It's all rooted in the realities to the Christian here that they're in Christ. And this is how they live. This is the reality of how they walk. Because they're already hidden with Him, secure with Him, and in this truth, awaiting the full glorification of what is yet to come. The immortality of our bodies. Being transformed. Let it sink in. No wonder the Apostle Paul said to the Philippians, for our citizenship is in heaven. Remember how he said this? From whence also we look for the Savior. Where's your citizenship? Hidden with Him. We look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, how the King James reads. He changes us that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Stunning. The language, the realities here. The truths of the Christian life. The realities of what we have, who we are. The youngest of the children that have been converted. Hopefully today they're getting things that they're being blown away by. Realities of what it means to be in Christ. That they are going to be changed and be fashioned like His glorious body. It's certain. It awaits them. They're already with Him. But there's something coming at His return. Something magnificent. A couple other thoughts on this. The world looking in, and you can read many thoughts on this about the text, but the world doesn't understand. It's veiled to them what we're talking about here. They view Christians as the offscouring of the world. Useless. Troublemakers. Better than thou type people. They do not understand that the true Christian, I'm talking about the true born of from above in Christ Jesus who walks with Him, they do not understand these realities that awaits the Christian. They see their life, they see aspects of their life, but they cannot understand how the Christian is living with this heavenly citizenship, this mindset, this expectation. In a sense, they never can. Until the end of time. The thought that when Jesus Christ comes, I want you to, as I wind down here, I want you to lay hold of this. Saints, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, our great head, He shall be seen and beheld with astonishment. And His people will be seen with astonishment as well. Man. It's not going to be hidden then. Not hidden from the sense of being fully displayed. It will go public. It will be beyond our greatest imagination. Wow. A living Savior who's coming for a living people, and they will be transformed, and they will be with Him forever. Glory to our great Savior. So that lays the foundation, in a sense, for where we're going. We are risen with Christ. We're looking unto Him, seeking those things which are above, setting our affections on things above. We're dead with Him, right? That's been taken care of, but now we're alive unto Him. We're hidden with Him. Our life is hidden with Him, and the realities of that are lived out. And they will be lived out within the body. They'll be lived out within Providence Chapel by the grace of God. We are not static. We are living. We're organic. We're connected to each other. Christ is in His people. Yes, beloved, the Apostle Paul is saying, remember the magnificence of your Savior who has your life hidden with Him, secure with Him. Let me close by a brother that I love to read. 1600s. How shall we then live? I'll close reading this and then I'll pray. Begin now to live as you shall live eternally. Let the contemplation of God, let the love of His beauties, let the meditation of His mysteries, let considering of and conversing with the Lord Jesus Christ be your employment or your conduct and refreshment in this present world. Amen. Hidden with Christ. Let me pray. Father, we bless your great name for so great a salvation that Christ has redeemed us. You came, you rescued us, and our life is hidden with Him.